Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. This is the broadcast for July the 30th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. Kirk Crosby is with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right. What do we got next, Kirk?
Well, you got Walter Williams, who, in my opinion, I wish everybody knew who Walter Williams is and, you know, the kind of guy he is. But he writes what's called a minority view. And, you know, so he is a black man. He's the kind that, you know, the standard media doesn't want to talk to you about. And his piece here, you know, I saw it on WorldNet Daily, but he says, is racism really responsible for today's black problems? He says, today's issues give white leftists cover for their anti-American agenda. And I think he says a lot even in those, you know, two little lines. Sam, do you want to comment on that?
Well, I would say this. You know, the reason they don't want to talk about him is because he wants to get to the truth, Kurt. And they don't want the truth, okay? If you have the truth, then you realize that guys like me and Kurt that are, you know, white guys, and Walter Williams, he's a black guy, right, Kurt?
That's correct.
They don't want you to realize that we see things the same. Not identical. You know, Sam and Kurt don't see things identically the same. But for the most part, we agree on, what, 99% of everything?
Yeah.
Okay, we might focus on a different part for the show. Okay, for an example, you know, Kurt would say, hey, anytime we can put choice for schools, that's good. And I would say, hey, let's just get rid of these schools in the first place. Well, we're not really saying different things. Kurt would just say, hey, Sam, wait a minute, I'm taking step by step. Sam's like, yeah, man, I want a Hail Mary. Well, we both agree with both points. We need a Hail Mary, and, well, we agree that step by step is probably more realistic, right? That doesn't mean we disagree on the point. It just means we choose to focus on different aspects. Well, they don't want you to know that guys like us and Walter Williams and guys and like us and Lloyd Marcus and guys like us and Sheriff David Walker Jr. and guys like us and, you know, a bunch of different Americans see eye to eye on a lot of stuff, Kurt. Us and Ben Carson probably agree on, what, 80% of, I don't know the exact number, but a significant amount. Okay? So they don't want you to know, as far as I can tell. They don't want us to know, or, you know, people to realize that, you know, we agree. We can stand shoulder to shoulder on most of this stuff. Because how are they going to manipulate us and control us if we erase that divide? Okay, I don't believe racism is responsible for today's black problems. I think Walter Williams highlights a very significant, critical discussion point. Okay, I think Walter Williams is spot on right. Is racism really responsible for today's, quote, black problems? Today's issues give white leftists cover for their anti-American agenda. So I think he's absolutely right. But let me tell you what I do believe is at the core of the problems for blacks. Ready? Now, I know people aren't going to like me erasing this divide right now. They're the same problems that whites experience, Kurt. They're just magnified. Okay? When you don't have a father in the home, it's bad for everybody. I don't care if you're white or black or green or yellow or blue. Without dad in the home, it's bad for everybody. When government replaces dad and partners with mom, and mom's alone to raise children, it brings poverty, it brings abuse, it brings, okay, now I'm not saying that every mom is in that situation, and I'm not suggesting the moms are entirely responsible. They're partly responsible, sure, but all I'm saying is we need to bring back the fundamental family, a mother and a father who love each other and have fidelity to one another, and who take responsibility for each other and for their children. Okay, I don't care what color you are. That ails every family, Kurt. and it's more prevalent in the black community for a lot of reasons. Okay, same thing with the poverty discussion. Same thing with, and I can go on and on and on with what plagues our society. Drugs coming across the border. Fatherless homes. Out of wedlock children. Okay, but every time you connect this discussion back to when we sin and when we act against God's commandments, things do not go well. So the more sin you have in a given person's life, the worse it gets. And then when you put that person's life with another person's life, quote, mom and dad are male and female, if they're living righteously together, the righteousness exponentially increases. When you put those people together in sin, then the sinning exponentially increases. And when you have righteousness increasing, you have stability and safety and honor and integrity. And when you don't have that, you have nothing but despair and discouragement and trouble and poverty and abuse. And that's true for everyone, Kurt. Sam Bushman and Walter Williams alike. And there is no divide, folks, except for the fake one they create. The reality is we know what makes people happy. And we know what makes people suffer. And it doesn't have anything to do with race, Kurt, at all. Period. So when you ask me what do I think of it, I think Walter's spot on. That's what I think. And I think he brings up a fundamental point for discussion. And I wish that we and Walter could push hard enough to make this one of the mainstream press discussions of our day. Because if we could set aside all those charges of racism, all those racism lies, and we could truly focus on how do we help communities, especially communities that maybe don't have, how do we help them with education? How do we help them keep families together? How do we teach them to work through the struggles of life and have the men take responsibility for their women and for the children that result from the sacred procreative power? How do we let them understand that it's about God, family, and country? And when you teach children to be religious and you give them a stable family, their chances with a mother and a father in the home, teaching them religion, of living a stable life, a life without mental illness and without addiction and without, okay, violence, okay, then you know what? It blesses everyone. Can't we get to that discussion? And my response is not with those who want to divide us. We can't. Because they control the media. But, oh, man, I'd love to work with Walter Williams. I'd love to work with Ben Carson. I'd love to work with Donald Trump and Kirk Crosby and everybody else on this critical topic that Walter brings up. Kurt?
I thought you might have something to say about it, Sam. You know, and when you look at this piece and you get a little deeper with what Walter Williams had to say, because, you know, I mean, even though we read the headline and the subheadline, you know, there's two or three pages that he gives, and one of them, I think, to me, he starts off pretty good, and I, by leaving parts out, does not mean at all that there is some stuff here that you don't want to read. I mean, you really want to look it up if you can, ladies and gentlemen, but we're going to highlight the parts we think and you know, throw in the solutions we
want to give, and where
is this
one? Right,
that's what we do. Well, it's, you know, you can find it at townhall.com or whatever. I mean, thank goodness, at least I recommend DuckDuckGo and put in Walter Williams, and that headline is "Racism Responsible for Today's Black Problems." You should be able to find it anywhere there. I mean, assuming, I mean, I found it, so I figured.
Yeah, but DuckDuckGo doesn't play games either, Kurt, far as I know.
He says, "I doubt whether any American would defend the police treatment of George Floyd that led to his death, but many Americans are supporting some of the responses to Floyd's death, rioting, looting, wanton property destruction, assaults on police, and other kinds of mayhem by both whites and blacks." Walter Williams writes, "The pretense is that police conduct stands as the root of black problems. According to the NAACP, remember that stands for the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, from 1882 to 1968, there were 3,446 black people lynched at the hands of whites. Now, lynched is, you know, hung and killed, and this is a bad thing. He says today, being murdered by whites or policemen should be the least of black worries. In recent times, there's an average of 9,252 black-on-black murders every year. Over the past, now, did you get that? Black-on-black murders every year. And this is a
and
black
it's
man
triple the
this.
Number, and it's currently happening. So one thing to remember is the past, I don't accept it's wrong, and we need to never repeat
good.
That.
That's
in
right.
history, right? We need to make sure. That's why we bring it up, not to highlight the sadness and the struggle, but to make sure we never repeat it. But even then, we can't do anything about that. It's in the past. But what Walter's talking about is triple the number by black-on-black crime that's going on right this very second
now,
that we could work together to do something about.
And he says over the past 35 years, that translates into nearly 324,000 blacks murdered at the hands of other blacks. Only a tiny percentage of blacks are killed by police. For example, in Chicago this year, bringing up Chicago, Sam. And
this
know,
year, so it's absolutely relevant right statistics now. Right now.
He says there were 414 homicides with a total of 2,078 people shot. So far in 2020, 3 people have been killed by police and 4 were shot. You know, so he had a massive difference there, and this is the kind of news story that the AP and the standard media just doesn't want you to know about.
Well, you got to give a shout out to Town Hall for talking about it, and you got to give a shout out to Walter Williams for focusing on it, because he's right and following that honest, transparent reality. What are the solutions? I pointed to many of them.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
All right, we're talking about this incredible Walter Williams column where he asks a very poignant, I believe, critical, fundamental question that I believe we really need to discuss. And what I find interesting is they want to tell you that white people are afraid to discuss racism, Kurt. That's the problem. You and I are just afraid to discuss it. I've been trying to get on every TV show in the country, and they won't discuss it with me. So really, it's a lie on its face. I'll discuss race anytime, anywhere, with anybody. And my fundamental starting statement is this: we are all God's children. Let's try to behave like it. So when Walter Williams asks the brilliant question, is racism really responsible for today's black problems? The answer is a clear resounding no, it is not. Okay, now, is there racism? Sure, there's always going to be bad people who don't like somebody because of their race. There's all kinds of, unkind behavior from one person to another, whether it's race or what about if they don't like me because I'm blind? Is that racism? What's that called? Bigoted? What, you know?
Okay. That'd be blindism.
Blind, okay, good. But you know what? That's not the root of my problems. Those people can fly a kite. I can't control them, and they can think what they want. I hope to be kind enough and a good enough example in life to where they change their mind. I hope when they meet me, they go, man, I had a false view, a misconception of what black people are like, or blind people are like, or what they're capable of. And I hope we can do the same thing with all races and all differences. Whenever somebody is different than you, it's hard to put yourself in their shoes. It's hard to identify with their situations. Usually, even kids do it. They're like, hey, he's weird. You know, they don't mean harm. They just naturally, when things are different than they expect, they don't know how to respond. We need to help them respond with kindness and love and examples and patience and, okay, putting the best foot forward, leading by example. Okay, those are the things. But anyway, so Walter Williams brings this up, and he finishes his article with some really important points that, Kurt, I completely agree with.
Well, yeah, and, just before we get there, you know, he's talking about Chicago that we were talking about. And, the point that he makes is there's huge amounts of black-on-black crime and people dying that way. And yet, there's very few times, he says, a police officer is 18 and a half times more likely to be killed by a black male than an unarmed black male is to be killed by a police officer. So, you know, you can see why there's troubles there. He says crime is a major problem for many black communities, but how much of it can be attributed to causes such as institutional racism, systemic racism, and white privilege? He says the most devastating problem is the very weak black family structure. Less than a third of black children, and he's a black man, so he can pretty much, I think, at least say these things.
Yeah, and I can say these things too.
I know, but, you know, you're going to get even less because you're white, Sam, and this world we live in, I mean, you do have some benefits since you're a black guy, so then that puts you along the ladder of a little bit, more legitimacy.
Right. And the only reason I bring up that I can say things too is because I hope that more and more and more Americans will not be afraid that they will speak out and erase this narrative they're pitching.
That's right.
Because we should all be able to say something about this. We should all, again, they're telling you I'm afraid of the conversation. No, I'm not. Why don't we all speak up and stand up and say, hey, is racism really responsible for today's black problems? The answer is a resounding no. And Walter highlights what is responsible. He starts by talking about the erosion of the God-given natural family, Kurt.
Yep. And he says less than a third of black children live in two parent households, and illegitimacy stands at 75%. So in other words, 3 out of 4 babies are not born in a husband and wife family, Sam. 3 out of 4. He says the legacy of slavery is often blamed. Such an explanation turns out to be sheer nonsense when one examines black history. Even during slavery, where marriage was forbidden, most black children lived in biological two-parent families. Professor Herbert, and he goes, gives you the details.
And even if they weren't married because of the law and they had children, they still had responsibility for one another, and they lived in a common law kind of a marriage, or at least common law as we would describe it today, and they had fidelity to one another.
That's right.
And they taught their children to fear the Lord. That doesn't mean be afraid of the Lord. Fear the Lord means you believe that he has your best interest at heart. Fear the Lord in Scripture means different than just the typical modern, discussion about fear. Fear of the Lord just means, hey, I fear violating his commandments because I know that it won't go well for me. But I love the Lord and I want to keep his commandments because he loved me first. And so fear of the Lord has a different connotation than we might understand. Unless we, study Scripture. I digress, except to say this is the point. Even in slavery, they tried to keep families together. They understood the importance of it.
That's right. I mean, all they had to have was a Bible, and they knew what they were supposed to do. It says he goes to an author called Herbert G. Gutman's in his research called The Black Family in Slavery and Freedom.
Now, hold on. Is Gutman white?
Between, I don't know, Sam. But
probably. But either way, it doesn't matter. You want to know why?
I'm not sure. Because he's bringing up the truth.
Yeah, that's exactly why.
He says he found that in 3/4 of 19th century slave families, and remember 19th century would be in the 1800s, you know, slave families, all the children had the same mother and father. In New York City in 1925, this is, you know, a little less than 100 years ago, 95 years ago, 85% of black households were two-parent. In fact, he says, 5 in 6 children under the age of 6 lived with both parents. During slavery, and as late as 1920, 100 years ago, a black teenage girl raising a child without a man present was a rarity. And now it'd be a rarity to have it that way, right, Sam?
Yes, and says, this is the core of the problems. And you know what? There's plenty of black leaders. Walter Williams, Ben Carson, David A. Clark Jr., Lloyd Marcus. I mean, I can go on and on and on. We agree with them 100% on this.
In fact, Owens.
Sean Bergen, yeah, Candace Owens, good. Sean Bergen was a white guy, a TV reporter in New York City.
And Parker. He,
yeah, Star Parker. But Sean Bergen, a white guy, tried to bring this up on the air. He was a TV reporter, and he tried to bring this up on the air. They literally fired him, Kurt. Gone. Don't you dare
That's
talk
right.
about dad in the home.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And yet the same people who say, pretend they want solutions, Sam, I don't think they really want them because they're unwilling to look where the real solutions are. And as we've always been taught, hey, if you're unwilling to look at history and understand it, and then you're basically doomed to repeat it, right? You know, and Walter Williams goes through and gives details, you know. He says the absence of a father in the home predisposes children, especially boys, to academic failure, criminal behavior, and economic hardship. Not to mention an intergenerational repeating of handicaps. If today's weak family structure is a legacy of slavery, then the people who make such a claim must tell us how it has managed to skip nearly 5 generations to have an effect. So in other words, you know, after slavery was gone, you know, it didn't overnight all of a sudden have, you know, one-parent families. You know, he just gave us the details and that it went that way later. He says there are problems such as grossly poor education, economic stagnations, and poverty that impact the black community heavily. He says, I'd like someone to explain how tearing down statues of Christopher Columbus, Thomas Jefferson, and Confederate generals helped the black cause.
You know what his problem is?
Yeah, what's that?
He wants it to be rational and logical and make sense, and so he's asking open-minded, honest, fair questions.
Yeah, finishes up and he says, destruction of symbols of American history might help relieve the frustrations of all those white college students and their professors that are frustrated by the 2016 election of President Donald Trump. Problems that black people face give white leftists cover for their anti-American agenda. And it's, man, it's good stuff.
Sad but true, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Good for Walter. Maybe you ought to reach out to him, see if he can come on the broadcast and discuss it in more detail, because he's right as rain.
Yes, he is.
All right.
That's great work.
John Stossel coming up in seconds, ladies and gentlemen. An interesting column for discussion as well. And ladies and gentlemen, lovingliberty.net. Check it out. They got an iPhone and an Android app. Download the apps today. They're free. Live and on-demand radio at your fingertips, whether you choose the app or the website. It's always incredible radio. LovingLiberty.net. Donate today. Spread the word, will you please? Sam and Kurt return in seconds.
AM 1280.
exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The Los Angeles area jolted by a preliminary magnitude 4.5 earthquake early this morning. It struck right around 4:30 a.m. It was centered in the eastern San Fernando Valley area. There have been reports of moderate aftershocks, but there are no reports of any significant damage or injury so far. An Atlas V rocket has launched this morning from Cape Canaveral.
And liftoff. As the countdown to Mars continues, the perseverance of humanity launching the next generation of robotic explorers to the Red Planet.
Weekly first-time unemployment claims across America rising again last week. Just out this morning, the numbers from the Labor Department showing 1.434 million people filing those first-time claims, 12,000 more than the previous week. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance. And MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month, but you might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by July 31st, and you'll save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch, like more than 400,000 people already have, and start saving. Here it is. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
More evidence that the nation's economy cratered during the second quarter of the year because of the coronavirus pandemic dragging everything down. The government just releasing numbers showing that the economy declined by nearly 33% in the quarter, the steepest drop in GDP, or gross domestic product, since records began in 1947. It had fallen 10% during the recession of 1958, and it had fallen 8.4% during the Great Recession of 2007 through 2009. Yesterday, Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced that members will now have to wear masks when in the House unless they're speaking on the floor.
The Speaker has the authority to direct the Sergeant-at-Arms to remove a member from the floor as a matter of decorum.
Her announcement came shortly after Republican Representative Louie Gohmert disclosed he's tested positive for COVID-19. The Republican has been critical of mask mandates since the pandemic began. And this is USA Radio News.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as always, we appreciate your accompaniment here on the Liberty Roundtable on the Loving Liberty Radio Network. Thank you for being with us, and thank your local station or whatever means that you have of listening to us. We appreciate it. The next piece that we thought we'd go with is by a guy named John Stossel. Now, John Stossel's a pretty well-known writer, and he does commentary and pretty interesting stuff. This one, you know, I'm pretty sure I saw it at WorldNet Daily, but when I put it into DuckDuckGo, you know, it comes up under Jewish World Review. At least it comes up, and in Google, it probably just disappeared, I guess. But anyway, it's called, it says The Private Space Race by John Stossel. And WorldNet Daily puts a little bit more, you know, headline there. It says Space Race shows for for-profit competition brings best things in life. John Stossel points to advances because government no longer is in charge. And, you know, pretty much points out this idea that the private sector is the solution, right, Sam?
Yeah, whenever government's not in charge, with rare exception, it's better, Kurt. Okay? And I'll use the Constitution as kind of the blueprint for liberty. So the, you know, federal government has a very limited well-detailed scope constitutionally. They've got a lot of power, but in a very limited, very minimal way. And then the states and the people, respectively, from there. And the more we leave in the people's hands, the less in government's hands, the less regulation we have within reason, the better. And John Stossel is just merely highlighting another fundamental truth, just like Walter Williams did. Okay, space race shows for profit, competition brings the best thing. And this is one thing that you bring up a lot, Kurt, is like, hey, whether it's school choice or whatever else, whenever we discuss economic issues, you bring up this vital fundamental principle, which is, man, it's all about competition. It's all about supply and demand. It's all about, and these principles tend to let the best percolate to the top and reward the best, reward the most efficient, reward the most responsible, reward the most consistent. The best things in life, right, Kurt?
Well, exactly, Sam. And, you know, it makes me think of the days of when I was a kid and, you know, the phone. And, you know, you never lost your phone ever. I mean, the thing was hooked to the wall. There was nowhere the phone could go. I mean, you never wondered, hey, who put the phone someplace? Did you drop it in the ditch when you were walking around? No, it was hooked to the wall. There was no place the phone was going to go. It actually, you know, had to go. You had to move it with your finger and make it go around. It took like forever. And you know, now, frankly, I'm sure that, you know, I know some of you are thinking, man, you're really old if you remember that. And I guess I am, you know, I'm 62 years old. But I think, imagine if the government didn't give somebody some monopoly back then. And thank goodness now we have, you know, some more less regulation and more freedom in this area. Now, I'm not telling you that we have all freedom and no regulation in it, but, you know, there might even be kind of a careful mix there where you have to do some of that, but it's one of those things where you've got to err on the side of freedom, not the other way. And John Stossel says, this week, American astronauts return to Earth. Their trip to the space station was the first manned launch from the U.S. in 10 years by NASA? No, of course not. He said this space flight happened because government was not in charge. And he says an Obama administration committee had concluded that launching such a vehicle would take 12 years and cost $36 billion. But this rocket was finished in half that time for less than $1 billion. Let's see, that's 1/36th of the predicted cost. That's because, he says, it was built by Elon Musk's private company, SpaceX. He does things faster and cheaper because he spends his own money. I mean, Sam, you know, now we know there's, you know, places where Elon Musk and so many other big things, whether it's Google or whatever, they get this government kind of, you know, approval. But, you know, just looking at that thing where the Obama administration, these are Stossel's words, Obama administration committee had concluded that launching such a vehicle would take 12 years and cost $36 billion. But he says this rocket was finished in half that time, so 6 years, for less than $1 billion. He says that's a 36th of the predicted cost.
Yeah, let me throw this out. So I'm the Hail Mary guy, and I'd be like, hey, let's get government and out of it entirely. Hey, we don't want government funding Elon Musk and everything else. And I think there's truth to my point. However, what Kurt would say is, hey, you know what? At least we have competition now, Sam. And at least we have a step in the right direction. Is it perfect? No. Is it where you want to go? Well, it's on the way there, Sam. And you know what? Even if government funds it, you want government to fund the 36, what was it, billion? Or million? 36
right,
billion?
Right, 36 billion.
All right. Do you want to fund the $36 billion plan or the Elon Musk $1 billion plan, even if the government gives money to Musk? Which is a better plan, Sam? Do you want to finish it in half the time or double the time? And so this is an example to prove the point about competition, and the same thing's true in education. You know, the opportunity for school choice or whatever else. Is it perfect? No. Is it way, way, way better? And is it on the way to what we really want? I would say so. Just look at the results, Kurt. Okay, it's okay to look at results and admit the truth about them. The truth is, whether we give money to Musk or not, I'm cool with, you know, doing something that could have cost $36 billion. And 99 times out of 10, that'd have cost overruns. So it might be more like $60 billion, or I don't even know the number. But we know that's a pattern, right? Compared to the Elon Musk plan of $1 billion. And I'm cool with half the time. And as Elon Musk gets rolling with more and more and more projects, I would expect more efficiency with competition in the private sector, Kurt. And that's the point that you would get with school choice, too. And so anyway, I bring it up because it validates the points that you make about competition. And hey, it's not maybe exactly what we want, but you can't say it's not on the way. It surely is. And so all the steps in the right direction we can take have incredible value. Kurt?
Great point, Sam. And, John Stossel says this is the potential of free enterprise. I mean, he's quoting aerospace engineer Robert Zubrin in one of his recent videos. But, I mean, think about that phrase. This is the potential of free enterprise, the American system that rewarded people when they, you know, built a better mousetrap, that kind of thing, and didn't hold them back. It basically gave them the freedom and protection and that kind of thing, even with things like our patent system and things like that. John Stossel goes on, he says, of course, years ago, NASA did manage to send astronauts to the moon. I just thought you'd like that part. And he goes on, he says, that succeeded, says Zubrin, because it was purpose-driven. America wanted to astonish the world what free people could do. And I would say, you know, it's true that there's, you know, I mean, it's cool to see what freedom can do compared to, you know, communist Russia, but, you know, or communist China. But we've embraced so many of those wrong principles. Now, he says, but in the 50 years since then, as transportation improved and computers got smaller and cheaper, NASA made little progress. And he's pointing out something very important here. But then he says, fortunately, President Obama gave private companies permission to compete in space, saying, quote, we can't keep doing the same old things as before, end quote.
Yeah, now I don't understand that permission thing. Is there like some rule that you can't go into space?
Yeah, but, you know, when you give them, back then, see, NASA was the only game in town, right? Now you've got several players,
but I think
including
that's right.
Musk. Well, just like back then when I was using the phone and it's hooked to the wall, was there another game in town? Could you call some other
but
company?
But you got to say why, Kurt.
Yeah, because government had the regulation
there,
and that's the way it was. But anyway, so he says, competition then cut the cost of space travel to a fraction of what it was. And, you know, I think that's the key points to bring up.
Just
here.
Imagine if we did that in school, Kurt.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Sam. And the president's pushing that pretty hard. And yet, you know, there's a lot of opposition to him, including especially the big unions that want to keep their power, right, Sam?
Yes. Now, here's where I'd try to, you know, reorganize Kurt's stories for him. Because there's a headline that says 93% of college students. And it relates directly to the point that I tied this competition idea of John Stossel and the founding fathers and everything else. John Stossel is just highlighting it as we are. But I want to tie it to schools. We need school choice. President Trump's been on record saying, hey, in the COVID, let's give the money to students so they can choose where they want to go. Well, let's tie that to now what students are saying, shall we?
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified? Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosher-tified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC, Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
All right, back with you live, lovingliberty.net. Donate today, spread the word. So I'm tying this to education, Kurt, because this is one area in which we really believe competition could be one of the great solutions. John Stossel pointed to the example of space travel, but Kurt often uses this with regards to school choice, and I think both are right. Both are great solutions. Why can't we talk about them and work on them, huh?
That's a great point, Sam. And, you know, Stossel basically finishes his article and says, government didn't invent affordable cars, airplanes, iPhones, etc. It took competing entrepreneurs pursuing profit to nurture them into the good things we have now. Get rid of government monopolies. For-profit competition brings us the best things in life. And, you know, when you look at education like you just brought up, Sam, I mean, imagine you'll see this. So we've hit on stories like this where you have the best educator, like in Japan or whatever, is making millions of dollars. And that's frankly because they can teach so many good students, and they charge what they will, and they get results. And imagine if we did the same thing with our, you know, different monopolies, you know. He points out about, he says, thankfully, now that self-interested entrepreneurs compete, space travel will get cheaper. Musk can't waste a dollar. SpaceX must compete with Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin, Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic, Boeing, Lockheed Martin, and others. Well, he's right. You know, there's competition there, and that's when you get better products, Sam, whether it's an education or anything else, right?
There you have it. These students are weighing in, though, Kurt, with some opinions that are kind of interesting. What did it say? 93% of college students say tuition should be lowered if classes are held online.
Imagine that, Sam. Yeah, so think about that. So, you know, we're supposed to keep paying you and me, everybody else, taxpayers, are supposed to just keep anteing up the full amount of government education costs. And yet, hey, over the last, what, 6 months, the only thing they provided was something online, and you're supposed to go get free lunch, drive up to the school. You know, and yet, boy, if you mention that we should just take those dollars, like President Trump has said, and if you guys aren't going to open up, we'll just go ahead and take those dollars and put them to the families, and then the families can choose what they want to do with their education dollars. Oh, man, I'll tell you what, the whole, you know, education establishment comes unglued when you say stuff like that, right?
Yeah, but I back President Trump's play on this one.
Yeah, and why wouldn't the cost of tuition drop if you didn't need the massive government buildings, if you didn't need the massive transportation costs, if you didn't have all the unions to fund if you could actually have, you know, one person, quote, working from home. You know, it's okay if you're in any other industry, but if you're a school teacher, Sam, and you have to work from home, then that can't really work. And yet I've seen it, Sam. You know, we've participated in homeschooling, and of course now, if you still call it homeschooling, then somehow it's evil. But if it's a government school teacher and they're connecting via Zoom or whatever with a student, then hey, that's all cool, you know, as long, especially if you don't lower the amount of spending that we have, right?
Yeah, if you lowered spending, it could be devastating. You know, what are they going to do with all these buildings, Kurt?
Well, that's one of the big questions, Sam, isn't it? What would you do with all these, even private sector buildings, where they, you know, all these businesses realize, hey, people can do some amazing stuff right from home, and they don't even have to all come in and gather around the water cooler and spend all that time, you know, wasting, you know, like you'd normally do in the government school, you know, doing roll and all that other stuff. You can actually get right down to work, right, Sam?
And the environmentalists should love this, Kurt. Why aren't they like, hey, man, let's never go back to these buildings. Let's turn these buildings off and shut them down and, you know, wouldn't you think that'd be for that, Kurt?
Well, the problem, Sam, is it messes up their buddies, you know. And so what they've got is these different buddy system. You know how we always talked about the buddy system when you're growing up? You know, you're supposed to have a buddy. You're going swimming, you know, the two of you. Well, they got the buddy system when it comes to politics, Sam. And so you have you know, these big government unions, especially since we're talking about education, but you got the big government unions that also typically they support the whole environmental crowd. So then the environmentalists are supposed to support the big government unions because, you know, I mean, that's, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, right? But if they really were true to their, you know, so-called goals of having, you know, less toxins and less of all this environmental footprint and all that stuff, they'd embrace these things, right, Sam?
Well, that's why I say, you know, where's the pro-life folks when we need them? Where's the pro-choice folks when we need them? Where's the, you know, and in this case, where's the environmentalists? They should be like, hey, we don't want to crank up all the AC in all these buildings, and we don't want to retrofit all these buildings for the coronavirus with filters for breathing. We'd rather just have people stay home. We don't want all the government school buses to crank up their diesel engines or whatever they're doing, and you know, would rather have that. But I don't hear them saying a word about it, and I just find that, you know, disparity quite interesting. All right, what do you got for a wrap-up piece, Kurt?
Well, you know, one of the things that was kind of right here close by this, at least for me, it says brave new schools, and this was really, I guess you could say, a sad story, because it's WorldNet Daily has a piece, says conservative prof, that's short for professor, hounded by vitriolic cancel culture mob, comma, police rule his death a suicide. And then the subheadline says, and WorldNet Daily's really good at this, they try to jerk out of a big story the whole thing, so that if you're only going to read their main stuff, you can get a lot of it. But they say, no other people were in the home and foul play is not suspected. But read the first part again. Conservative professor hounded by vitriolic cancel culture mob, police rule his death a suicide. You know, and you've said this before, Sam. I mean, if, you know, they say I committed suicide, they're lying. And I believe that's the case here. This guy's probably thinking, man, what has happened? Or he thought this before he, you know, was killed, that he's saying, what has happened to our society? What has happened to America? Kind of like that good guy we talked about yesterday that, you know, is putting up the signs telling people to repent and to support the president. And some guy comes by just afternoon and shoots him in the head and kills him. You know, I mean, America's in, you know, especially some pretty tough spots.
Yeah, but I believe his Black life matters, Kurt.
That's right, I do too.
And I believe this guy that you just highlighted, his life matters.
Yeah, University of North Carolina, he's a Wilmington criminology professor, Mike Adams, and his death has been ruled a suicide by police. You know, they say no other people were in the home and foul play is not suspected, but in the months leading up to his death, he was subjected to a massive online cancel culture bullying campaign to vilify his reputation and force his employer to fire him. And they say at issue were a couple of tweets that his detractors claimed were racist and sexist because he mocked women's studies and compared a Democratic governor to a slave master, all in the context of draconian COVID-19 regulations in North Carolina. And four different online petitions were launched to get him fired. You know, Sam, I mean, it's amazing how the same people that are anti-bullying are going to bully somebody like this so bad, right?
Well, I think we ought to double down on the Be Best campaign from the First Lady, and we could work on that, all of us together.
That's a great solution.
Of course, they'll just say how disingenuous we are because we like Trump, and he's the master of bully. So, see, then they'll just pit that. And my response is, hey, President Trump has grown up in a pretty rough world of New York real estate, and he's learned to go on the attack. And you know what? His wife is helping him be better. And it just proves we all need to come along in this. We all need to do better. Me, Trump, you, all of us, you know. And let's not just point fingers why it won't work. Let's try to find out why and how it can work, right? All right, final piece, Kurt.
More. Yep. Then you got this WorldNet Daily piece says, food for thought. What a waste. An average American trashes over $500 in uneaten fruit every year. Most, they say, toss out three pieces every week. Now, Sam, you know, the root of this story, it is sad when, you know, things go to waste. But, man, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a chicken or a rabbit or two, you know, some of those things you might be throwing away, you can just put them right to there, or you could even put them in some of that dirt, kind of improve that. But think about it. In America, where we have that opportunity, why do we have all this, quote, uneaten fruit or uneaten vegetables? Why are we so blessed to have all these things, even when the current situation is like it is? Well, we haven't completely embraced the communist system. We still pay people a value to produce those fruits and those vegetables and things like that. And I was there last night at the farmer's market, that even though they tell them you got to have masks on and you got to have everybody else separated and everything else, even with all that stuff going on, you still have some people raising some onions and some vegetables and some things like that. You know, you still could get some, you know, Utah grown meat, and you could get some fruit, and you could even get some good honey, Sam. And so there's hope. And all I can say is, you know, let's look for the good and keep working forward, moving forward and trying to do things better. And maybe tomorrow will be a better day.
Amen. And I want to answer the why, though. Why do we waste so much food? Well, there's been a lot of Christian organizations and a lot of philanthropy groups that have tried to take food from restaurants or food from your homes and use it in meaningful ways to feed the hungry. And you know what they're told?
It's a great point.
You don't have a food license.
That's
you
right.
Can't do that.
You don't have permission to do that.
You don't,
the government,
yeah, to the point where, you know what, and don't tell me there's a lot of Catholic groups, a lot of organizations.
That's
in the
right.
Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, many Protestant and Presbyterian, and when I can go on and on and on, evangelical, and these groups try to make a difference, and what they do is they get shut down by all this regulation, where it's like, we don't have a choice, we just have to throw it away, I guess. Maybe we ought to come together and find a way to solve that and feed more people, huh? Sounds like a great solution.
Exactly, sir.
And race isn't even involved, Kurt.
Amen.
Everybody needs to eat, huh?
That's right.
All right, for Sam and Kurt, we declare this nation shall endure. LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic of the United States of America.